Welcome back to Preps Today with John Millay. He's John Millay from the MSHSL. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Brandon Morton is our producer. Let's start today, John, with the return of Michael Floyd.
Yeah, we all, everybody who follows high school football in Minnesota knows that name, Jim. A 2008 Creighton Durham Hall grad, phenomenal football player. I Googled my name and his name, and the first thing that popped up was a tweet I sent in 2015 that just said, "The best high school football player I've ever seen is Michael Floyd." And, you know, he went on to play 4 years at Notre Dame, first round draft pick, I think 8 years in the NFL with a lot of teams, including the Vikings. He won a Super Bowl ring in New England. And it's just, you know, I tell young reporters, showing up is half the battle, especially on the high school beat. So I went to a game out at the Vikings facility Friday night, Creighton Durham Hall and St. Thomas Academy, renewing their long and storied rivalry. And the game itself wasn't that great, especially for the Creighton guys. St. Thomas Academy beat the Raiders 41-14. But the interesting thing for me was the honorary captains for Creighton Durham Hall were Michael Floyd and Matt Burke. And, you know, I know Matt because I wrote about him in my Star Tribune days. And I joke about it when I see him. I spent some time with him in the off season before he was married. I think he's got 8 kids or 18 kids or something like that now. This was clearly
it's an even
ago.
Number.
No, it's an even number. Matt was a single man, a young NFL player living in a basement of a small apartment building in a St. Paul neighborhood. And he kind of gave me the tour of the neighborhood in his Jeep, and we you know, just had a good, spent a few hours and met his dad. And so I knew Matt, and I hadn't talked to Michael since he was in high school. But we chatted, and I found out through another connection that Michael Floyd is now a college football coach. He's an assistant wide receivers coach at Concordia University right in St. Paul. And so Michael and I chatted on the phone Monday, and really a nice guy. He's 31 years old. And we talked about things I like to write about. You know, he was a three-sport athlete. He was a phenomenal basketball player. Mm-hmm. And he was on the track team at Creighton. And so we talked about that. You know, he's had quite a career. He's got a college degree in sociology. His wife, who was also at the game Friday night with their two really, really adorable little kids, she's a Concordia University grad. So they've got some connections there. And I talked to Shannon Currier, the head coach there, and other members of the staff. They love having him there, not just because, you know, he's a Notre Dame star, an NFL player, but because of the kind of person he is, how he interacts with the players, and just his simple knowledge of football and not just the wide receiver position. So he may have a future in coaching football. He told me, you know, you think about the retired professional athletes living the good life. He told me most mornings he's up at 5:30 in the morning before his wife and kids. He's watching film and getting ready for meetings and practice. And he just loves working with the kids. So if you want to read about Michael Floyd, there's a story on John's Journal at mshsl.org. And, you know, I asked him at the last question I asked, it says, "Mike, give me advice that you have for young athletes now, high school kids." And he said, you know, take part in multiple sports, multiple mm-hmm. activities. And there's a great example of that right now at his alma mater, Creighton Durham Hall. The starting quarterback Friday night is Trey Holloman. He's going to play basketball at Michigan State. So there's your update on multi-sport athletes. And it was really, really fun to catch up with Michael Floyd. I think he was humoring me, but he said, "Yeah, John, I remember you covering our games and writing." You know, I don't know if he did, but he's a nice guy, and we had a nice chat, a couple of chats, and really kind of a you stumble into those stories sometimes. You know, you just show up. I didn't really go to that game with a specific story in mind. I had a couple threads, you know, I thought could develop, and then here's Michael Floyd. He gave me a cell phone number. We chatted, and there you go. So just show up and you never know what you'll see.
I bet he did remember you. I my experience is, no, seriously, as a high school writer who later covered a lot of pro sports, a lot of athletes really appreciate the people who cared about them, cared about their story, wanted to talk to them before they became famous and became part of the, you know, the mass media machine that is professional sports. So I have no doubt he remembered you.
Yeah, and I think you're right too. As high school kids, they remember the first times they're interviewed.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's newspaper people or radio, they that does stick with them. And I was interviewed once as a high school athlete before my team in Iowa played in the state championship game. One of the very big time TV stations from Sioux City, Iowa came to our school. And, you know, I was one of the captains. So we all stood there like a bunch of dummies. And this young female reporter was asked, she wasn't a sports reporter, asking us questions about school spirit and stuff like that. So somewhere that's on video and I don't ever want to see it.
It's funny. I've been interviewed once as an so-called athlete. Wasn't in high school. It was when I was running the Missouri lacrosse team, and you know, local TV stations came out to do. And of course, the problem that back then was every lacrosse story is, "What's the stupid sport you're playing?" You know. But so I had to stand there and try to explain it and kind of promote it. And I, like you, hope that that tape did not survive.
We hope there are fires and things.
Yes,
burn.
We you know, nobody, control
anybody
fires.
Get hurt. Yeah,
control fires. Burns. But control I hope burns. There's a fire that burned just that video.
There you go.
Hey, well, I want to tell you, this is part of TalkNorth.com. It is our network. We've been building it for years. Well, John has been one of our key, you know, key cornerstones. Brandon's the owner of Key Cornerstones. Thank you for listening to the network. You can find all of our shows at TalkNorth.com. All of our sports shows, our outdoor shows, our variety shows. We also, you know, if you like pets, if you have pets, Raising Your Paws, sponsored by NutriSource, is one of our new shows. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they are released. If you'd like to sponsor a show, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen is always subscribe at your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's just easy. Thank you to our sponsors, Twin Cities Orthopedics and Pizza Barn in Princeton. We'll tell you more about them in a minute. But first, let's get to cross country.
Yeah, Jim, this is a big week, at least for me. I had not been to any cross country events until this week. So Tuesday, I drove a couple hours north to Piers for the Ray Zimney Pioneer Stampede cross country meet. Ray Zimney is the former longtime cross country coach at Piers. I chatted with Ray. He started this meet in 1973, and I said, "Ray, I'm really old," and I was very young at that time. And he looks great. He, you know, helps run the thing, and they're the Piers Pioneers. So originally it was the Pioneer Stampede. Now Ray's name is on it. This was really fun. There were 30-some teams there from around central Minnesota. Absolutely perfect day. People remember Tuesday. Man, we're in a good run of weather. And one of the best things for me was I was able to hang out with my buddy Rick Grammond, who's a very famous broadcaster in Piers and the area, does all kinds of high school sports, and he owns amateur baseball. He's all over that. He's just an all-around great guy, one of my friends. And Rick and I jumped on two golf carts and raced around and had all kinds of fun at the cross-country meet. So that was Tuesday. Now, Friday this week is the biggest cross-country meet of the regular season, the Roy Griak Invitational at the University of Minnesota Golf Course, close to the state fairgrounds. It's one of my favorites. It wasn't held last year. You know, a lot of things weren't held last year. It's really fun because they bring in some of the top Division I cross-country teams, male and female, from around the country. There are races for Division II and III teams. And then they have high school races for girls and boys. It's always fun. So I'm looking forward to that. The weather, again, looks pretty darn nice. Now, I may be biting off more than I can chew because I'm also going to try to make it to a football game. The cross-country races are at the high school races are basically late afternoon. I might not be out of there till 5:30. And so I still want to get to a football game. Normally, if I'm going to a 7 o'clock high school football game, I'm there 5:30. If I'm there at 6, I consider myself late because I like to be there and just get the lay of the land. And so I've done a lot of really intense mathematical configurations here, Jim. I'm looking at Google Maps. I'm looking at football schedules. And how long does it take me to get from the Les Bolstad U of M golf course to wherever? And everything else being equal, the biggest game this week is Hutchinson at Becker, both undefeated. I don't think I can get to Becker in time, and it's going to be a huge crowd anyway. They don't need me there. It'll get plenty of coverage. Now, there are also, I have learned, there are outstanding world-class pork chops at Becker football games.
Oh, well, that kind of
That's a draw, but that's it's not tipping it for me. I just don't think I can get there. I know that was outside my radius. I'm kind of looking an hour or less from the golf course. So I still am not certain. I've got several possibilities. These are all like 50 to 60 minutes from the cross country meet. I'm not promising anybody, but my list, these are the sites for football games that are on my current list as we're speaking here. Wednesday, early afternoon, Randolph is a possibility, Tri-City United, Pine City, Zimmerman, and Cambridge Isanti. Those right now, that's my list. The list may grow. I will make a decision by Friday, hopefully, and there's some mystery here. I got to figure this thing out, and I will. And, you know, if everything works out on time, I'll be at wherever I go before kickoff and take it from there. So I'm looking forward to a busy, busy Friday.
You know, I think you could make it to Becker with the MSHSL sponsored helicopter.
We could try that. Somebody asked me that. I think our friend Don Stoner at Augsburg University, who's quite the snark guy on Twitter, like the rest of us. I was talking about going to Piers, and it's a 4-hour round trip. And he mentioned, "What about the high school league Learjet with the John's Journal Learjet?" And I'm stupid too, and don't take things too seriously. So I found an image of one of those old wooden airplanes with the rubber band propeller, you know, that weighs about half a pound. And I tweeted the picture back to Stoney, and I said something like, you know, current financial conditions at the high school league might allow me to buy one of these, a $1 dime store rubber band airplane. So no Learjets, no choppers. The John's Journal Camry gets me where I need to go. I do not speed. Asterisk sometimes included, but you know, I'll get somewhere. I'll have a good time, and it'll work out. I'm confident. I've done this a time or two. I'll figure things out.
We have every confidence you will. Let's talk about shot clock and refs and all kinds of good stuff. But first, let's thank Twin Cities Orthopedics.
Yeah, there are great things going on there, Jim. You are going to be in Stillwater October 9th for the grand opening of.
Is the 9th or the 8th?
It's the 9th.
Okay,
it's
good.
Piece of paper I'm looking at. That's Saturday.
I'm sure that's right. Yeah, it is Saturday, so the 9th is correct. Good.
They will have the grand opening of Twin Cities Orthopedics state-of-the-art facility, brand new, right across the street from Stillwater High School. I will not be there. I was already booked when this was planned. That afternoon, there's going to be a celebration in Brainerd honoring Ron Stolsky, the former 58-year high school football coach who retired a couple years ago. This celebration has been put off a couple times due to COVID. So I believe I'm going to speak at that thing. So I'm going to have to miss the event on the 9th. But you got a pretty good guy taking my place. You and Randy Shaver are going to do a live show. And everybody who follows high school football, especially, we know Randy's been doing his prep sports extras for 38 years, his all-star teams. He'll have plenty of great insights on the high school season so far. Plus, just the event out there in Stillwater is going to be a ton of fun. They're going to have appearances from the Vikings, Chris Hockey from KFAN, food trucks, giveaways, tours of the facility. And you'll be on there live from 11:30 to 12:30. So everyone's invited to come and hang out. Come say hi. And we're hearing there's a special gift for the first 200 people, so make sure to get there early. It may be a brand new building, but TCO's commitment to the Stillwater area goes back 40-plus years. If you want to know more, visit tcomn.com/newstillwater for more details on that. So thanks to Twin Cities Orthopedic.
I'm really looking forward. I love doing the show with you, and I will be doing some live shows at some point, but if I can't do it with you, Randy Shaver is the perfect replacement, and Randy will be flashing that smile for people. We'll do live questions. You can come up and watch, listen, interact, and we're really looking forward to it. Now, speaking of great people for their community, let's talk about Jody Stay and Pizza Barn.
Yeah, what a great partner we have here with our show, our long-standing sponsor of the show, the Pizza Barn downtown Princeton, right off 169. We tell people all the time, if you're coming north or south on the highway there, whip into downtown. It's easy to find. Such a strong community business, family-owned since 1983. They don't just sell pizza and subs and, you know, everything you'd need. They just do so much more, and It's a community gathering space, and you go in there, you meet your friends, there's great food, And it's such a varied menu, anything you'd like to drink. And they've got that famous food truck. There's putting on the miles and making people smile. And I was just looking at some of the places they've been where they're going with the food truck, sporting events. We know that. Music festivals. They're going to a cornhole tournament. A cornhole tournament with the food truck. How much fun would that be? You know, they put it in the parking lot at businesses so employees can come out over their break. It's all over the place. And another reminder about the September Pizza of the Month. We're getting towards late September now. It's officially fall, and it's the mac and cheese pizza. And I've been trying to find a time to get up there, and I'm hearing from more people all the time, Jim, in my travels, including up in Pierce. People are talking about the pizza bar, and they hear us talking about it. And people who've been there before tell me how much they appreciate it, and people who've never been there tell me they want to go. So thanks to Jody Stay and everybody at the pizza bar.
Fantastic stuff. Can't wait to get back up there. We'll have to figure that out with our schedules whenever we can. All right, let's get to, you know, this is a very controversial show. Let us bang the drum on the controversy of our times, John.
Oh.
Shot clocks.
It never ends, and it's not going to end. It's this topic, this discussion has been revived, and nationally, I want to say 8 or 9 states that use high school basketball shot clocks. Some of them just for boys, some just for bigger classes. But the big move this summer was the National Federation of State High School Associations. That's the national governing body of high school sports. And they produce rules and rule books. And they have committees of people from all over the country, from all these high school governing bodies that sit on these rules committees. And we've had people in the high school league office here that have been on, you know, hockey, basketball, baseball, you name it. We've had people on those committees. But they announced this summer, the National Federation rule book has not allowed shot clocks. And the states who have been using shot clocks, if you go against those rules, you are unable to have a spot on the committee for that sport. So, and now in Minnesota, we don't use quarters. We use halves in high school basketball. And I think maybe initially that didn't give us a spot on that committee. I think that's been waived, basically. I don't know the details. But anyway, shot clocks, basically it's up to each state now. There's no blanket, you know, ban on shot clocks, even though it wasn't really a ban. So if states want to use them, we kind of got the thumbs up from the National Federation. So I don't know that we're going to get them in Minnesota. I don't care one way or the other. I want whatever's best for the sport. And what's going on right now, there's about a 3-week period here where our staff are driving around the state holding what we call area meetings. There's 8 of them or 10 of them. And basically every high school in the state sends at least one person to these meetings. I went to the meeting, a meeting in Eagan last week. There's going to be more next week. And shot clocks is one of the discussions. And the administrators who come, it's generally athletic directors. Their surveys are being taken. What do you think about shot clocks, yay or nay? And then what if there are obstacles, what are they? And some of the obstacles, we've heard about this before, the price of installing them, because most gyms in Minnesota, high school gyms, don't have them. Some in the metro do. But one of the other concerns I saw raised was finding people to run a shot clock and paying them and making sure, you know, they'll show up for every game. And there was a really good question asked at the meeting I was at. Would this be for boys and girls? Would it just be for class 4A, 3A, maybe not the small classes? And nothing is set in stone. Nothing's definite. But the answer from our staff was, if we have shot clocks, it'll be for everybody, all boys and girls teams in every class. And I just don't know where this will go. It's going to be a long process. If we do have shot clocks, it could be 3 years away. That's how long these things take. So it's going to be studied. There's going to be input from everybody who wants to give input can do it, you know. And I know the big school coaches, especially the boys coaches, they would love to have shot clocks. I don't know if girls coaches are quite as enthusiastic. And you get to the smaller schools, and the financing is an issue, but you know, it's been a hot topic, sometimes a warm topic. It's back on the hot part of the stove now. And we're going to hear more about it. So just everybody keep your head on straight. Don't get all wound up. You know, we're not, if there are shot clocks, it won't ruin basketball. If there aren't shot clocks, it won't ruin basketball. Just stay sane now and let's get through this. Let's get through this working together. There's my advice.
The staying sane part, I think we should just give up on that.
I've been on Twitter. I know what you're saying. I've been on Twitter. Yeah.
Let's just skip that part. Let's just let people, you know, if people are going to be crazy, let's have them be crazy about this. That's my stance on all of this. Let's thank a ref, John.
Yeah. There was just an outstanding Twitter thread earlier in the week here by Paul Rizdahl. I don't know Paul, but he's a soccer, basketball, and girls lacrosse official. He tweeted this great thread Monday morning, and I retweeted it. If you go back to my Twitter account, go back to Monday morning, and it's about the experience officials are having. This is super positive. This gave me so much hope, Jim. So I'll just read a couple of excerpts from Paul. This fall has been the most pleasant experience I've ever had officiating, and it's 100% due to the coaches. Even coaches that have been a problem in the past have been great this season. On several occasions, I've overheard coaches telling their players to stop arguing calls. They are leading by example. We desperately still need many more referees. I get multiple emails from assigners every single day asking for help to cover games. So there's a lot more to the thread from Paul. And he even put out at the end there, anybody who's interested in becoming an official, his DMs are open on Twitter. And thanks for that, Paul. That really, we were talking about this in the office just today, Jim, before we started to record here. That is great to hear, you know, firsthand experience from out there from an official. So, and we've talked about it before, we have officiating shortages and officials retire. We need younger people to take this up. And in addition to that, equally as important, we need everybody to behave. Because if we don't have enough officials, games don't happen. And that's going on right now. So that was really a good piece of optimism from Paul, an experienced official. And speaking of officials and these area meetings that are going on, they talk about officials there, and they're encouraging all these administrators to talk to their juniors and seniors and recent graduates, try to get them to consider this. And Bob Madison, a member of our staff here at the high school, he gave a simple quote talking about this. It really is outstanding. More officials means better officials. So the more we have, the more good ones we're going to have. So let's hope we can keep thanking refs and we can help solve this problem. And then a really good tweet from Mark Solberg, the AD at Cambridge Isani, one of the greats in that profession. He tweeted a picture of John Leeser from St. Cloud. Cambridge Isani thanks John Leeser for refereeing our varsity football game at St. Cloud Tech. Mr. Leeser has been helping student athletes as an MSHSL official in football for 57 years and in basketball for 61 years. Much respect. And I know John Leeser a little bit. He's a legend. But those are the kind of people that, you know, they can't do it forever. So we need younger folks to step up and put on the stripes and a whistle and kind of develop the second career and get so much out of it. So thanks to John Leeser for everything he's done for 61 years.
Excellent. We have a few more things we want to get to here. We will just open this up for John to tell us about some more good stuff.
There's no shortage of good stuff, Jim. You know, we talked last week. I wrote about Brad Wendelin, the Waseca football coach who collapsed on the sidelines during the final minute of the first game of the year. The trainers and the nurse who came down used an AED, chest compressions. They restarted the guy's heart. He's doing great. We got into some specifics on last week's show. But this story just continues to reverberate. I've seen comments on it, and I've heard from people. People are still talking about this. They know what happened, and they understand the importance of AEDs and emergency action plans and healthcare professionals and Yeah, that story's really, really got some legs, and it should, just because of, you know, the heroic efforts to save that that fellow's life. We've started the Most Valuable Teammate Award. That's a thing at the high school league here. We award them every week. We've started that for the new school year. Our first recipient of the MVT Award is Hannah Drill from Mound West Tonka High School. She's a volleyball player. And the graphic says, Hannah exemplifies everything a good teammate should be. She comes early to practice, stays late to put equipment away. She is coachable, always strives to make herself and her teammates better. Everyone trusts and enjoys Hannah. She is the light of our team. So when you talk about most valuable teammates, that is exactly what this award is about. And we've got many more lined up here to go on the next few weeks. These are emailed to me. I put them together. And there are so many great kids out there, Jim, that we get to honor with this award. It's fantastic. And then a tweet from the Dilworth Glendon Felton volleyball team. This is right outside of Fargo Moorhead up there, with a picture of, I think, three or four volleyball players cleaning the bleachers. And the tweet read, my favorite moment of the night was my seniors stopping and helping the custodians clean all the trash from the bleachers. Senior leadership at its finest. No kidding there. We can't see enough things like that. I retweet everything I can that's like that, that shows selflessness and leadership and just simply doing the right thing.
That's great stuff. Yeah. That is good stuff, John. That's really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a correction you want to offer.
I have an important correction. This was brought to my attention in a very nice way. On last week's podcast, we were talking about 9/11 and Tom Burnett Jr., a former quarterback at Bloomington Jefferson who was on Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania. I talked about this memorial stone that's at Bloomington Jefferson High School. And I mentioned that Kennedy and Jefferson don't play their football games at school. There's a shared stadium in the middle of town. I, being the idiot that I am, called it Bloomington Stadium. This is the correction. It's not, or I called it Jefferson Stadium. It's Bloomington Stadium. It's not Jefferson Stadium. It's not Kennedy Stadium. It's a Bloomington Stadium. I knew that. I've been there for many games. This was a case of pure stupidity on my part. I apologize to everybody at Kennedy and at Jefferson and to the entire community of Bloomington. It's Bloomington Stadium. Let's hope I can figure that out.
John, the important thing is you apologize to me.
I'm sorry, Jim. I'm sorry.
All right, you're good. All right, now on to the really important stuff.
Yeah.
The highlight of the show, concession food of the week.
I have a concession food of the week, and I have a non-concession food item of the week. So the concession item, this isn't officially from a high school. This is from TCO Performance Center. It has Twin Cities Orthopedics name on it. It's an outstanding place. So I met there for this game between Creighton and St. Thomas Academy. The concession stands were open. It's unbelievable. They do a great job. I got a pretzel and cheese, and I don't remember the last time at a high school sporting event I bought a pretzel and cheese, because with COVID, we didn't have no pretzels. We didn't have no cheese. If anything, it was minimal at concession stands last year. It was usually you can get a bag of chips, you can get a candy bar, packaged food. They weren't fixing anything that wasn't already wrapped. So I had a pretzel and cheese and the world famous pretzel and cheese ratio challenge, as I call it on Twitter. The way this works is I get my pretzel, I get my cup of cheese product. I will not argue that it's actual cheese.
It's cheese-ish.
It's cheese-ish, definitely. And before I start ripping up the pretzel, dipping it in the cheese, I take a picture. Here's the complete pretzel. Here's the cup of cheese. Do we think there's enough cheese to dip every piece of the pretzel? This was a big upset. This cheese cup was not that big. But here's the key. If you fill it to the brim before you snap the lid on it, there's a chance. And this wasn't the biggest pretzel in the world. It was average size. And I'm proud to report, as I did on Twitter, a stunning, stunning result in the pretzel and cheese ratio challenge. I had leftover cheese. That is what you want to have. I didn't stick my tongue in the little cheese cup and finish it that way. I'm an animal. I'm not that much of an animal. But all the pretzel went down with cheese on it. That was exceptional. That was a great way to resume the pretzel and cheese story. And then finally, the non-concession food item of the week. Anybody who knows anything about Piers, Minnesota, knows it is known for fine meat products. There's a place called Thielen Meats. I don't know if they're related to Adam Thielen. I have heard that they're not, but it seems like kind of a coincidence. They just might be long lost relatives, but they're famous for meat. This was my third trip to Piers. I was there the last time I was there. It's been a few years. I was there for a wrestling match. Dave Rochelot, who's the athletic director, and then one of the coaches there, I came home with a pack of bacon and a bag of meat sticks from this wrestling meet, and it's worth it. So by the time I got to Piers, I'm at the cross country meet. The meat shop was going to be closed by the time I was heading out of town, but here comes Dave, the AD, bringing me a big old napkin wrapped around some big old meat sticks. I tweeted a picture of them, and I would love to tell my wife I got them home so she could enjoy some of this. I did not get out of Piers and they were gone. That's I was hungry, man, you know, and they were really good. And thanks to Dave, and he even had a couple of Piers Pioneer stickers that he placed on the Camry. I love to have people do that. There's no restrictions. Anybody wants to put a sticker on that car, you know, send them to me at the high school. Like, I'll slap them on. But the best thing is to do it in person. I was sitting in the car. I had already downed about half a meat stick. And then I thought Dave had left, but he comes up and my window was down. He says, John, I got a couple stickers for your car. I said, well, Dave, you figure out where you want to put them. You stick them on. I'm going to take some pictures. So I tweeted a picture of him placing one of the big P's for Piers on the car, and then along with a picture of the actual sticker. So that was really fun. I thanks to everybody in Piers. That was just so much fun I had up there, and I can't wait to get back.
Meat sticks, cheese to pretzel ratio. You finally got to the really important stuff. I appreciate it.
this is the sign of normalcy.
Yes.
I've been waiting for.
Yes.
Finally, we did it, everybody. We did it.
Good stuff. Great stuff from John. Thanks again to Brandon Morton. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll be back next week. And remember to pencil in on your calendar, October 9th, 11:30. Randy Shaver and myself will be out in Stillwater. We'll give you more details about that as the date approaches.